Would you look with me in the book of Ephesians, the last chapter, the 6th, the 19th verse, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. God willing, I would like to speak along the line of some of the mysteries of the gospel. I know that I will need the grace of God for this, as this was a prayer in itself, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. Brethren, we cannot utter the gospel in power without the Holy Spirit of God. It's not in us. I may get up here and speak in words, but I cannot put the power to it. And this is a mystery of the gospel, is that the gospel came not in word only, but in power, in much assurance, in the Holy Ghost. And Paul also said that when he came to the brethren, he came not with excellency of speech, neither with enticing words of man's wisdom. And the conclusion of that was that your faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in God. So this is a mystery in our preaching, that we are here to preach the revelation of God's truth. And God must give us the power of revelation that we may proclaim this mystery. Otherwise, we remain in darkness. We cannot see, we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. And for me, and may all of us underscore that, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Now, I want all of you, brethren, to preach. But right now, I want me to preach. I'm not selfish. But if I preach, I've got to do the preaching. And God's got to give me the power. But still, it's going to be me. It's us. He doesn't preach us. Now, if He preaches us, we wouldn't have to worry. Because everything He does is perfect. If He preaches us mechanically, if He just preaches me, all I got to do is get up here, and my head's a funnel, and He just pours it down like a computer, and it just runs out my mouth. Everything on the data sheet will all be perfect. It'll come out on the printer absolutely without any mistakes. That's not the way it is, brother. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must give ourselves to this. And it'll soon show up with all of us if we don't give some time in this book. I tell you, the old Baptists get tired of broken records. We just hear the same thing, a repetition of the same thing, although we want to preach the same thing. We don't want to preach a new doctrine. We want to preach the same thing. But at the same time, there is such a variety in the Word of God. I told one time there was a vegetable that I never did like, and that was squash. Just couldn't stand it. Any form you put it in. Of course, I didn't know it in many forms then. Fried and boiled in two or three ways, but I just didn't like it. I was attending an association one year down at the Upper Canoochee Association at Bethlehem Church in Statesboro, and I was standing by this dish, and I kept dipping into it, and it was so delicious. And I looked at a sister that was standing just over the other side of the table. I said, "Do you know what the main ingredient is in this dish?" She said, "Yes, I know. I baked it. I fixed it." I said, "Pray tell me what it is." She said, "It's squash. Squash. A casserole." And brethren, we got to fix a few casseroles. I don't mean camouflage, but the truth needs to be preached in love. We're here not to slay anybody. We're here to save God's people. Build them up. Encourage them. Not only the outsider that's inquiring and debating and in the valley of decision needs some encouragement along that line, we must have them because God has called all of us. Whether our primary calling may be evangelistic, some of us, some, or pastoral, but all of us must do the work of an evangelist. There must be evangelizing within the local congregation. But to evangelize means to teach the untaught, but the teachable. They may be untaught, but they are teachable because they have been taught of God, and you can teach them. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Not in arrogance, but brethren, we need a conviction of what we believe. We need to believe it. Instead of one elder, I believe Elder Newman out in Texas, somebody says, "Well, do you believe what that man preaches?" "No, but ain't enough folks in Texas to make believe he don't believe it." So we got to be convincing. Convince thyself. I had a brother to come by to see me one day. I was working. He came by to see me a few years ago, and he'd been off on a hover riding the subject. Just hover riding on a subject, you know, with Jacob and Esau. Trying to squeeze a little Esau in. And so he was on to that. And so he talked to me about it. I said, "I know a lot of the things you're saying is true. There's a lot of allegories. There's a lot of types and shadows back in the Old Testament about Jacob and Esau." But I said, right there in the 9th chapter of Romans, I said, "That's election. Ain't no way. There ain't no way to get around that. That's no mystery. It's a mystery in a way, but it's a revealed mystery in that sense of the word." But I told this dear brother, I said, "You know, I have found this out. Any time a man, a preacher, tries to preach on any given subject all the time, everywhere he goes, he don't even believe it himself." "You mean I don't?" I said, "No, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. You're not even convinced yourself. What you're doing is not convincing me. You'll never convince me. But you're trying to convince yourself. That's what you're doing. You're trying to convince yourself. The Ark of the Covenant stands alone without the hands of man." And brother, if you got the proof, you just set it up there. You don't prop it up. You don't have to stand there and hold it. It's not a fish god like Dagon. It won't fall over when the window's open. The wind won't blow it over. My friend, it stands. It's the truth of Almighty God. The great mystery of the gospel. That I may open my mouth, and brethren, that's the only way you can preach the gospel. I know a lot of times brothers say, "You preach it with your feet." Well, that's fine. You better live what you're trying to preach. You better walk. And how beautiful are the feet of them that publish glad tidings. And that's certainly walking in harmony with what you preach. But I tell you, at the same time, there's a lot of good men, and they walk good lives, and they have a good testimony, and that's wonderful.
But I tell you, you still, to preach the gospel, you got to cry loud and spare not. You got to open your mouth. Brother Danny Parker said, I told him in his ordination, says, I said, get up and speak up and shut up. He said he still remembered that. But I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to look back just a little bit. I don't want to get this too lengthy because I know there's others and we have a lot more to speak today, the Lord willing. I think this is wonderful to think about relative to the great mystery of God as Paul has laid out in Ephesians. This is a great book to get into the mystery of God, the mystery of the gospel of God. That is, he goes back, of course, in the first chapter, and he's laying that great foundation of how the Almighty God has chosen in Jesus Christ both Jew and Gentile before the foundation of the world, before the conception of the inhabitants, before the orderly arrangement, before the world was made, the earth and the fullness thereof. My friend, our God made choice of His people both among the Jews and the Gentiles. Though they had not, in a sense, been formed out to become Jews through Abraham, but yet, as they were known of God, and that's what Paul is dealing with, because he himself was a Jew, and he is bringing out that great mystery, how that God made choice of them, as well as the Gentiles. But you know, a lot of the Gentiles, a lot of the Jews thought about the Gentiles, well, we Jews probably were chosen, but not Gentiles. But here is, as Paul unfolds this great and wonderful mystery, in the third chapter he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he might make known unto me the mystery, then in parentheses, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This is that profound mystery, my brethren, that which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then on down in the ninth verse he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now here is this great mystery. It has been hid in ages past. What was hid in ages past? That the Gentiles. So God began manifestly in the world, religiously speaking, God manifested himself beginning with Abraham. Not in his grace, but in the manifestation of religious worship and of faith began in that organized form, so to speak, a moving out of Abraham when he called him from the air of the Chaldeans and saying, in multiplying, I will multiply thee, and blessings I will bless thee. Now, faith didn't start with Abraham. Don't ever get that, brethren, into your system. It didn't start with Abraham. It was a manifest start of it. It was a manifestation of it. Because, you see, God gave Abel faith a long time ago. And he gave Enoch faith And others, he gave faith in their hearts. And by the way, whatever mystery you want to call this, I'm a firm believer that Almighty God will put the ingredient of faith in the souls of ever born again persons. When you are born again, instill within your soul and your spirit is the ingredient and antecedent of basic faith. Put in the soul, my friend, and it will never be manifested or brought out if it's not already there. It has to be there, and it's there through the new birth. It's there through the Spirit of God. It may be in a nucleus form. It may be in an undeveloped form, and it is to the degree that it can be developed. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where faith blooms out. That's where life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. Now, brethren, I believe in a God-given faith in the soul. And I believe Abel had it, and I believe Enoch had it. And I don't think God translated Enoch and took him out of this world and took him to heaven without any faith. No, sir, I believe he had it in his soul, my friend. I believe all of those great men before the day of Abraham, they had faith within their hearts. And so, that's what I've always believed. And I plan on believing it right on myself. I don't intend to change that. And so, I believe in that. But then Abraham, in the calling out of Abraham, he is called the father of the faithful. And therefore, we can see the manifestation. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he moved out by faith, not knowing whither he goeth. But God told him, in blessings I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not just Abraham's seed in the flesh, but as he told us in Galatians, not of seeds of many, but of one seed, and that seed was Christ. But it came through the lineage. Christ would be born after the lineage of Abraham, coming forth of the tribe of David. And that would be that promised seed. And that is one of the great mysteries here I've spoken. But now, as God dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and blessed them and multiplied them, and gave them the oracles of God, and blessed them in many outstanding ways. He was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In blessings he would bless them, and multiplying he will multiply them. On and on, my friend, God was with them as they walked by faith with him and journeyed. God journeyed with them. He was their shield and their buckler. He protected them from their enemies. He was with them on through their journeys of life, as all of you know. You can go all the way through the history of the Israelite nation, and finally their sojourn in the land of Egypt, and then the crossing of the Red Sea, and their great deliverance from the land of Egyptian bondage, and then crossing the Red Sea, and then going on their journey through the wilderness, and then finally their abode in the land of Canaan, where he drove out seven nations and placed them in that land that he promised them. All of this, my friend, God gave them and blessed them. It is repeated over and over again in the Old Testament of the great promises of God to that great Jewish nation. But, oh, my friend, here is the great mystery. Here is the great mystery. All the while that God was blessing of that nation of Jews, while God was delivering them and putting his sanction upon them and letting the whole world know around them, these are my people and I am with them. And as they walk in my ways, I bless them. And also he manifested to the nations about them when they didn't obey him. He made them weaker than water. He turned them into judgments. And therefore, he dealt with them in a peculiar way, in a certain way. And the same goes for primitive Baptists today. I believe, in that sense of the word, you are the Israel of our God. And brethren, as you walk with the banner of Jesus Christ waving over you and giving him all the honor and the glory and the praise. You are a people different from all peoples of the world. And yet when you turn from Him and walk after the flesh and the things of carnality and try to be like the world and look like the world and act like the world, it's a group of a brethren that said, well, we've added this, and we've added this, and we've added that, and we've added this, and we still hadn't prospered. We still hadn't got out here and gained the world, so to speak. And I said, the only thing you're lacking, you ain't left off the doctrine. And brethren, I tell you, you can add everything you want to, but do you leave off the doctrine, I'll tell you that, you ain't going all the way. And if you're going with the world, go all the way. You've got to quit preaching election and predestination. You've got to leave the doctrine. Why take the paraphernalia on? Why take on and add all these things? My friend, it's nothing like... You know, I like what Brother Bradley said one time. There's a young preacher came up here in the early part of this movement of this church, and I understand he said, well, now, Brother Bradley... if you come with us, you can keep your piano. you can keep this and you can keep that. He said, well, brother, when God showed us, the more light God gave us, the more grace and understanding He gave us, the more we wanted to get rid of all those things. And they don't go together, my friend. It's just something about it. Don't try to ask me to explain it. I'm a guitar picker. Yeah, I like music. But I tell you, my daughter one day, bless her sweetheart, she ought to be an old Baptist. She's not. Maybe I hadn't done my job too good. One day she come right there and she said, Dad, I went by a little church down on the corner down there, and you know, there's a picking a guitar in there. And she thought that was an abomination in the sight of God. And so, there's a place for a little music. There's a place for things if you do them right. You say, oh, I don't believe in that. What you got them pianos sitting in every living room? It's about the same. They got strings in the back of them. But anyway, my friend, you may have these things, and there's a proper place for them. A proper place for them. Well, let me tell you something, my friends. When we're talking about other wonderful things of God, there is just something about the simplicity of this truth. And the wonderfulness of God. But back to this main subject here, that he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now, I don't know exactly where he wrote that unless he wrote it over there in the first chapter when he said he chose us in Christ Jesus. That's what I think about. And that's what the margin says, 1 and 4. And that's it. In a few words, that he chose us, Jew and Gentile, in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so I wrote afore in a few words whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, in the ages back when God was dealing with the Jewish nation, back in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It is now revealed unto his holy prophets and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Brethren, you can go back here. Let me look at the 12th verse of the second chapter. Because, maybe the 11th. We'll go back. Because from in the second chapter of Ephesians, from the first verse of the second chapter down to the 10th verse, is dealing primarily with the effectual work of grace in the heart. That's what he's dealing with. And I don't care whether you're a Jew or Gentile by nature, you gotta be born again. You got to be saved by God's grace. And he's setting that forth there. But then he comes in and takes in another scope of this. He said, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. He's not only just talking about them as Gentiles in the flesh in an unregenerated state, but he's talking about you as a nation of people. You Gentiles who were Gentiles by nature. And they, though many of them are already children of God by grace, but still they are classified as Gentiles by nature. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. In other words, the Jews said, you're uncircumcised. And brethren, that's what they said about Gentiles. And yet if they had something against some of those fellows, they said, all of you got to be circumcised. You remember they did, they pulled that one time, one of those Philistines or whatever it was, wanted their sister, you know, and so forth, and they said, well, all of you, we'll be brethren, and all of you got to be circumcised, and so circumcised all of them, and while they was all sore from circumcision, when I didn't kill them all. You remember that? Well, anyway, you can read that sometime, but anyway, here is a requirement that they made, it's called circumcision in the flesh made by hand. That at that time ye were without Christ. Now, brethren, listen. The Gentiles, as the elect of God, were never without Christ. Because from the covenant of grace, before the foundation of the world, they were chosen in Christ. Jesus says in 6 and 37 of John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. Of all which the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise him up again at the last day. Don't tell me that's just Gentiles. Don't tell me that's just Jews. That's Jew and Gentiles. That's all that the Father gives him. And Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans says, for whom he did foreknow. He foreknew both Jew and Gentile in that sense of the word. He foreknew all of his people and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. All right, he said, that at that time ye were without Christ. How was a Gentile without Christ? They were without Christ in the gospel. They were without Christ in the gospel, brethren. And he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Indeed, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, the nearest they could get was out of court. Out of court, folks. And that's about the way it is with a child of God that hadn't done his duty and sitting out there in the congregation and says, I know it's the truth. I know what he's preaching is the truth. I know those people are enjoying themselves in the kingdom of God, but you are now out of court, fella. And I tell you, you're going to stay there until you do something about it, until you obey of the gospel. You know, you better thank God the middle wall of partition has been broken down between the Jew and the Gentile now. Oh, you Gentiles don't have to stay out there in the outer court because you are a Gentile, but now you can come in and participate in the wonderful things of God because God has called you by His grace. You can come in without excuse. He broke down the middle wall of partition. Anyway, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, notice this expression, and strangers from the covenants of promise. I used to read that covenant of promise. Brethren, that's covenants. Covenants of promise. Strangers, listen, brethren, the Gentile, the elect among the Gentiles were not strangers to the covenant of promise. Because in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began, they were not strangers to the covenant of promise. They were embraced in that. It was ordered in all things, and sure, He maketh it not to dross. But brethren, they were strangers to that covenants of promise, the covenants that were given unto the Jews. They were strangers to that, having no hope. Now, brethren, it wasn't they didn't have hope in God. They had that in their soul, but they had no hope in the promises of the gospel because it had not been brought to them and proclaimed them. They could not feel included without God and without hope in the world. But now, they weren't without God in their souls. They weren't without God in the covenant. They weren't without God in redemption in Christ. They weren't without God in regeneration. They were without God in manifestation in the things of God. This mystery I'm talking about, my friends, this is that mystery. They were without God. In a sense of the word, I'm going to tell you, everybody that's without the truth today, to that extent, are without God. They're not without God in their souls. They're children of God. but they're without God in the truth. Many of God's children today, my friend, are without God to understand that God cannot lie. God made the promise. It's sure and it's certain, my friend. While the preachers get up, so-called, and proclaim over and over again, God would love you. Christ died, but you gotta let Him save you. The Holy Spirit wants to get in, but you gotta let Him in, and all such things as this. And I tell you, my friend, there's none of that true. None of that is true. Those people are just as much the children of God as you are. And any that know the truth today, they are children of God. And heaven will be their home. They are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're bought, and they're paid for. And they're born and they're bound. Yes, sir, for eternal glory. And I believe that. I believe in that. He says here, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, while in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. This was kept a secret all this time. It was not manifested. It had not come out and been revealed that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same promise. No wonder in the Songs of Solomon 8 and 8, it says, we have a little sister which has no breast. What shall we do for our little sister in the day that she shall be spoken for? She hadn't been spoken for. Brother, no, wedding day hadn't come. No, sir. She was a barren woman. Sing, O barren. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren. And break forth in singing, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. The married wife was a Jew married to God through the law. But now, my friend, the Gentiles are now spoken for. Though for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with everlasting mercies I will gather thee. Oh, poor Gentiles, remember the wormwood and the gall. You're spoken for. All the mystery is revealed, brethren. And I tell you this morning, you and I would not be here today. We would not be sharing in the wonderful things of Christ and the gospel if this thing had not been revealed and made manifest, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. And brethren, we're in the same body. If we're what we hope to be, we're in the same body the apostles were in. If I don't know where I am or not, well, if you don't, I'll tell you, you're in bad shape. I'll tell you what, my friend, I believe we're in the same body. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I believe we're standing right where the Jewish apostles stood. I believe we're standing on that foundation, my brethren. I believe we're part of that visible, not only the mystical body of Christ, but that visible body of Christ. And that we are partakers, and we were made partakers of this through the gospel. You know, Paul says in Corinthians, and about 1 Corinthians, and about the 4th chapter, he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. For I have begotten you by the gospel through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. Because God blessed me to come along and beget you into the truth. Not born you again, but get you in the truth. And you may have 10,000, hypothetically, 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. And so, brethren, when the man that God blessed in your experience, and I remember when mine came, I remember when I tried to join something else and did join. I made a start, but I didn't complete it. And then the same night I was supposed to have been baptized into that organization, I was impressed to go hear old Brother Bryant, the father of the preachers that you know. Then I went over to hear him. And he preached on a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And I thought I was the only person in the congregation he was talking to. And here he was, my friend. I was vaccinated and didn't know it. I tell you, he was dealing with my heart. I tell you, he put that took an effect upon me. And I never was the same again. I thought I would throw it off. I thought I could just forget about it. But I'm telling you, there's a begetting in the gospel. I tell you, the gospel comes in, and it comes in, and it makes you, in that sense of the word, a partaker of His promise in the gospel, whereby whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men, Jew and Gentile, he says, see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Himself, to the intent, and now under the principalities and powers and heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And then he goes on down and says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So here is a glorious and wonderful thought about this, that the whole family, here's something we learn about this mystery, the whole family is named, both in heaven and in earth. But I tell you, it's not just the Jew that's here and a part of the Abrahamic covenants, but no, here is God's family, both in heaven, the whole family in heaven and in earth. And everyone that's died since the days of righteous Abel, and I don't doubt Adam and Eve, because I think when he gave them garments of skin, it was an evidence of grace, because they tried to clothe themselves in fig leaves, and that's a child of God trying to wrap himself up in self-righteousness. And then when the cosmic rays of the sun came out, dehydrated all of their righteousness, and the Lord slew the beast, and that's a type of Christ in Adam and Eve. I don't mean by that everybody in Adam and Eve's lineage were saved. I'm not a universalist. Not at all, my friend, because there was Cain as well as Abel, and so forth. But nevertheless, I believe Cain, and I believe Enoch, as I've already said. And all of those, even Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Joseph, all of those men who walked by faith and had the evidences of the Spirit of Almighty God. And David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I believe the souls of all just men are made perfect, my friend. And when they left this world in the Old Testament, I believe their souls went into the immediate paradisical realm of Almighty God, and they're waiting up there for the grand day of the resurrection of the dead. I believe all of them are there. And so the whole family is named. Now that's a mystery. For that is a mystery shown to us. That all of the heirs of God, all the children of God, like a young man, I got to quit here, but a young man asked me one day, he came in our little grocery store, he said, Brother Darty, do you believe people over in foreign lands and heathen lands who have never heard a gospel sermon, do you believe that they are born again? Do you believe they are saved? Do you believe they'll go to heaven now? I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, do you believe the wind blows over there? He said, what's that got to do with it? I said, you just asked me that question. Do you believe the wind blows over there? He said, well, you know the wind blows over there. I said, yes, the wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And brother, the Spirit of Almighty God is blowing like the wind in all nations of the world, in heathen lands, behind the iron curtains, the bamboo curtains of China. It matters not how they're steeped in heathenism, bowing down to pagan gods or whatever it may be. I believe the grace of God is in the lives and hearts of those people. And one day when they leave this world, heaven will be their home. But brother, I'm not one to believe that everybody's got to know the gospel, understand the gospel, and believe it. I wish they did. But I know they won't. They've not all obeyed the gospel, brother. And this is a great mystery that I speak to you concerning these matters, that many of God's children, like it was in the days of the Gentiles, they had not heard the gospel. They were in ignorance and they were in darkness. And Paul was sent along to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. So the gospel is God's means to bring the child of God out of darkness into light. But all of them will not have that. All of them will not be privileged with that. And I'll tell you this, those of us that are privileged with it ought to thank our God that we're here today and know the truth. I was talking with somebody last night. And this person said, well, I tried to go back and hear what I used to hear, but it just don't have the ring to it. I said, no, you won't ever feel the same again. If God has ever given you this truth and you open your eyes of understanding to it, you will never be the same. Now let me conclude here, and I think this is a wonderful thought. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is the greatest mystery of all. I conducted a funeral with a man from a distant state. He lived up in a far-flung northern state. And he had just had this funeral. And he said, well, most of the people that I bury up in that land where I came from, he says, are buried in mausoleums. The funeral director let me look in one time into this particular family mausoleum. Said the bones just stacked back for generations. He said, but from what you said at the grave, that you barely believe them folks is coming out of that grave. I said, you didn't misunderstand me. You sure didn't misunderstand me. He said, well, if that's true. Now, he was an elderly man and very clean cut and seemingly very intelligent. He said, that been true? What about all those bones in those mausoleums? How will God ever straighten them all out? Now, he was just as sincere as he could be. To him, that was a mystery. I said, friend, let me tell you something. The God that took Adam out of the dust of the earth, who had never been a man, won't have no trouble putting us all back together. That's a mystery. But I tell you this great mystery, my friend. There's a glorious day coming that God will resurrect our bodies. I like what Elder C.M. Mills said one time. He said, well, I've been a lot of sizes since I got here. I was in conception, and then I was born. Probably I was about that long. Then I was a teenager. Now I'm over 6 feet. I've been a lot of dimensions, he said. I don't know exactly my exact size, but I believe it'll be me. And brother, I believe it'll be you. It'll be you. And I believe in that one. That's a mystery in itself. But I believe we'll all have super intelligence. We'll know even as we're known. We'll walk down that glorious city of God. And all the profound mysteries of our life that we wondered about and debated about, we've said farewell to those we've loved and said goodbye to so many. And we will, if we live longer, we'll say goodbye to so many more. And then they'll finally wave goodbye to us. And we'll be gone the way of all the earth. But we shall not all sleep, brethren, but we'll all be changed. We won't all die. Some of us are going to be living when the Lord comes again. But whenever the Lord returns, when he does, and he will, with a shout, the voice of an archangel and a trump of God, and dead in Christ to be raised first. Well, I don't see how they could all be in the earth. I don't see how they'd have standing room. Don't worry about it. God can make room. He put them all in the ark, everything in the ark. And I tell you, brother, he'll put us all, there'll be standing room. And then all that alive and remain won't get in the way of them. But raised out of the grave. Now, that's a mystery. Isn't that a mystery? But then he'll catch us all up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a great mystery where I speak concerning Christ and the church. God bless you.